الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، today is the 27th of Dhul Qa'dah, which corresponds to the 12th of October 2012, and it's a Friday morning here at the Da'wah Center, and we are in the middle of ayah number 3 of Surah Al-Ma'idah. The middle of ayah number 3 of Surah Al-Ma'idah. The last thing we discussed, as per my memory, is ذَلِكُمْ فِسْقَ. And we mentioned that فِسْقُ وَخُرُوجٌ عَنْ طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ أَوْ عَنْ طَاعَةِ إِلَى طَاعَةِ الشَّيْطَانِ. It's to the abandon or to go beyond the boundaries of obeying Allah to obeying the shaitan. We ask Allah to protect us. Then the Shaykh said, ثُمَّ امْتَنَّ عَلَى عِبَادِهِ بِقَوْلِهِ. Then Allah reminded His slaves of His favors upon them. So He said, اليوم يئس الذين كفروا من دينكم فلا تخشوهم واخشون. اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا فمن اضطر في مخمصة غير متجانف لإثم فإن الله غفور رحيم. The continuation of the ayah is in English. I had it a second ago. أيوة نعم نعم. This day, this day those who disbelieve have despaired of your religion. So fear them not, but fear me. This day I have perfected for your religion and completed my favor upon you, and I have approved you Islam as a religion. But whoever is forced by severe hunger with no inclination to sin, then indeed Allah is forgiving and merciful. The Shaykh said, وَالْيَوْمُ الْمُشَارُ إِلَيْهِ يَوْمُ عَرَفَةِ. The day which is referenced in this ayah, الْيَوْمُ يَئِسَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. That يَوْم, الْيَوْم is يَوْمُ عَرَفَةِ. Which is in Ramadan, right? Just testing the brothers, man. Take it easy. Everybody give me this look like I... When is Arafah, Mr. Quito? Naam. When is Arafah? In which month? The day of Arafah. Abdul Hadi, come on, man. Nine of what? Nine of what? What's the name of the month?
Hijjah.
Almost. You're missing one. Dhul Hijjah. I'm trying to do something to wake you up in the morning, man. Brother's like, oh, he thinks that Arafah is in Ramadan. Oof. And we're learning tafsir with him. Give me a break, man. Should have seen your faces. Like, what is this guy saying? Anyways. Dhul Hijjah. Dhul Hijjah. إذ أتم الله دينه ونصر عبده ورسوله وانخذل أهل الشرك انخذالا بليغا بعدما كانوا حريصين على رد المؤمنين عن دينهم طامعين في ذلك. It is a day in which Allah Azza wa Jal completed His religion and He granted victory to His slave and His messenger. And it's a day where the people of Shirk were disappointed and humiliated and defeated, a great defeat. After they had been very keen on making the Muslims turn away from their religion, hoping that they would be able to have the Muslims abandon their religion. فَلَمَّا رَأَوْ عِزَّ الْإِسْلَامِ وَانْتِصَارَهُ وَظُهُورَهُ أو فَلَمَّا رَأَوْ عِزَّ الْإِسْلَامِ وَانْتِصَارَهُ وَظُهُورَهُ. But after they saw the might of Islam and the victory and its prevalence, خلاص, Islam is everywhere. يَأِسُوا كُلَّ الْيَأْسِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنْ يَرْجِعُوا إِلَى دِينِهِمْ. They totally despaired that they will ever be successful in bringing the believers back to their religion. خلاص. In the beginning, when Muslims, because people during fitna, this is when they apostatize. During fitna, during trials, when there aren't enough people to support you, this is when you may fall back on your heels. But once you have people like-minded together, you find strength in the group. You find strength in that in that number of people versus being an individual on your own. So when the Muslims were small in numbers and everybody's trying to bring him back, it is possible for someone to apostatize, because there isn't much that Islam was offering then in regards to protection from the enemies, of course, not in terms of aqidah and salvation. But then once Islam became the powerful force, and now the kuffar are running away and afraid of the Muslims, now there's nothing to be feared. Now the munafiqeen, joined Islam. See how the tables turn around? The kuffar joined Islam because they wanted to be with the strong side. The strong side was Islam, so they came with the Muslims because the Muslims are the ones who are dominant. So the munafiqeen came out during this time. So the kuffar, when they saw that the Muslims were all over the place, khalas, they said, this is done. We can no longer bring these people back to our religion. And of course, yani, this is their position. But sadly, some Muslims fulfilled their objective. And they did it on their behalf. They revert. They apostatized from Islam and entered Christianity or Judaism up until today. But these are people who were never upon the deen. Who were never really upon the deen. Because it is impossible for you to have believed and then revert to disbelief. It just doesn't make sense. The way you're sitting right now, can you imagine yourself ever calling on Jesus or believing that Allah has a son? This is abhorrent. So the only time where someone would leave Tawheed and believe in some crazy stuff like that is because he was never upon Tawheed. He was just a clown. Along with the people, just going with them and coming with them. Never truly believed. Otherwise, no way. Illa wal'iyadhu billah, if someone had some evil wickedness within him, which Allah Azza wa Jal caused that person to deviate. But it's abnormal, least to say. وَلِهَذَا نَعْمُ وَصَارُوا يَخَافُونَ مِنْهُمْ وَيَخْشَوْنَ. So then they became fearful of the believers. Not only that, they despaired from bringing them back to their deen, they now are afraid of the Muslims. ولهذا في هذه السنة التي حج فيها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سنة عشر حجة الوداع لم يحج فيها مشرك ولم يطف بالبيت عريان أو عريان والله أعلم. I've heard it from different scholars pronounced differently. عريان and عريان and عريان. والله أعلم. It could be some Arabic words, by the way, in صرف have more than one vowel in the way you pronounce them. So I'm assuming this is one of them, based on what I've heard from the ulama. على كل حال, the Shaykh said, this is why in the year in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed this pilgrimage, which was the 10th year. The 10th year of what? Yeah. Nah. The Hajjatul Wada'. How? What is Wada'? Farewell. It's farewell. Ahsant. So we have Tawaf al-Wada', right? Hajjat al-Wada', no mushrik performed Hajj on that year. Usually the mushrikeen before, they would do Hajj all the time, their own Hajj. How was their Hajj? وَمَا كَانَ صَلَاتُهُمْ عِنْدَ الْبَيْتِ إِلَّا مُكَاءً وَتَصْدِيَةً. As Allah described them. The only form of prayer they had around the Kaaba was whistling and clapping. Whistling, clapping. And they would be naked, men and women, naked, butt naked as they say, يعني مرة, nothing, no underwear, nothing. Like Allah created them, and they will be going around the Kaaba, this is their salah, the mushrikeen, this is their salah. Naked, whistling, and clapping. Of course, alaykum salam, and Allah Azza wa Jal criticized them in this ayah, and this is one of the evidences, or the evidence, that the ulama use for those who follow the position that clapping and whistling are haram. Clapping and whistling, there's a difference of opinion, just for the record, yani. Some of the scholars say mafi bas, there's no harm in it, whatever. And others, based on this ayah, they deem it as impermissible because Allah was criticizing the kuffar for clapping and it was something that was blameworthy. Therefore, a believer is not to resemble a mushrik. Nadeel, I just quoted the ayah, akhi. The ayah with the salah around the Kaaba was nothing but whistling and clapping.
What kind of whistling?
Allahu a'lam. Now you need a mufti now to give you the rest of it. Wallah Abdul Hadi, I don't know. Because this is used to pick up women as well, right? But anyways, that's besides the point. Let's leave whistling alone for a minute. The clapping at least. The clapping, because the clapping, we cannot differ on how you clap. You know, clapping is clapping. The whistling, what is intended? Allahu alam. Nevertheless, I'm just telling you so you will be aware. Just so you will be aware. Not so we can make a big fitna out of it. If you like to clap and whistle, go ahead. By all means, if you're not convinced it's haram. I'm telling you that this is an evidence used by the scholars to prove the impermissibility of these two acts. Because they were done by the kuffar, Allah criticized them for doing it, and we're not supposed to resemble them. I'm not sure which ayah. I think it's in Surah you don't have a Quran search on your phone? Just put tasdiya. Ta sad. I can get it for you after the dars. After the dars, inshallah. Mashi? I believe it's Surah Tawbah or Anfal. Wallahu a'lam. Ala kulli hal. So based on this, they say you don't clap. So when something is good, you know, or somebody comes on stage or something along these lines, you know, you just remember Allah Azza wa Jal and you don't necessarily clap. Or if you follow the position, you may clap, then you can go ahead and clap. Alaykum salam. Anyways, there's leeway in it. So don't yani get upset. Now, how did I get here? Exactly. And now, so on that year, no mushrik did Hajj, nor did anyone circumambulate the house naked. Huh? Because that's what they used to do. وَلِهَذَا قَالْ فَلَا تَخْشَوْهُمْ وَخْشَوْنِي. That's why Allah said, do not fear them and fear me. أي فلا تخشوا المشركين واخشوا الله الذي نصركم عليهم وخذلهم ورد كيدهم في نحورهم. Do not fear the mushrikeen. Rather fear Allah, the one who gave you victory over them, and the one who humiliated them, and he made their plotting against them. They shot themselves in the foot, as they say. اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم بتمام النصر وتكميل الشرائع الظاهرة والباطنة والأصول والفروع. In regards to the statement, this day I have perfected for you your religion. The Shaykh said is the completion of victory and the completion of the legislation, the outwardly and the inwardly, in regards to the fundamentals and the branches. وَلِهَذَا كَانَ الْكِتَابُ وَالسُّنَّةِ كَافِيَيْنِ كُلَّ الْكِفَايَةِ فِي أَحْكَامِ الدِّينِ وَأُصُولِهِ وَفُرُوعِهِ. This is why the Kitab and the Sunnah, the Kitab, the Quran and the Sunnah, in other words, they are sufficient in full sufficiency in regards to all of the rulings of the deen, be it the fundamentals or the branches. فَكُلُّ مُتَكَلِّفْ يَزْعَمْ أَنَّ لَا بُدَّ لِلنَّاسِ فِي مَعْرِفَةِ عَقَائِدِهِمْ وَأَحْكَامِهِمْ إِلَى عُلُومٍ غَيْرِ عِلْمِ الْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ مِنْ عِلْمِ الْكَلَامِ وَغَيْرِ فَهُوَ جَاهِلٌ مُبْطِلٌ فِي دَعْوَةِ. Allahu Akbar. رَحِمَكَ اللَّهِ يَا شَيْخ. He said, anyone who mutakallif, someone who's like who's exerting himself worthlessly for no good reason, anyone who claims that it is incumbent for the people to have knowledge in regards to their aqidah and the rulings of their deen, to any knowledge other than the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah, like ilmul kalam, like philosophy, and go back to the lecture, the latest lecture, titled Changing the Unchangeable. You can find it on YouTube. Changing the Unchangeable. It is addressing and criticizing and exposing the modern Muslims and the modernists and the modernist movements, which basically use these foundations of Jahmiyyah and Mu'tazila and the philosophers of Ibn Rushd and Ibn Sina and Az-Zamakhshari and the rest of the clan who were upon Aristotle mentality and philosophy. That basically boils down to the fact that a philosopher is superior to a prophet. A philosopher is superior to a prophet. Because the philosopher understands matters through contemplation and reflection and analysis, whereas the prophet uses his imagination. And so they said that the philosopher is better than a prophet. Which is crazy. Not all of these people I mentioned say that. But that's what Aristotle said, and that's what Ibn Sina and Ibn Rushd, who were affected by him and translated his work. Ibn Sina translated his work, he was upon the same kind of aqidah. Which is really wild. So ilm al-kalam is basically those philosophers who will tell you, يعني, أخي, everything to them is their intellect. As if Allah Azza wa Jal made this guy's brain the judge in matters of the deen. If it makes sense to him, it's halal. if it doesn't make sense, it's haram, and halal and haram is according to his mind. And his mind may be advanced, it may be behind 20 years. He may not understand what he thinks he understands. The list goes on. Everything is per the brain. One of the most dangerous qualities a Muslim can have, where the book and the sunnah will be rejected if it merely does not make sense. And it started with the matters of aqidah, wherein the names and attributes of Allah were denied. No, Allah does not descend every last third of every night. Does not descend to the lowest heaven. Why? It doesn't make sense that Allah will descend. Why would Allah descend? And what business do you have? Lay. Because your silly brain cannot understand something which Allah mentioned through the tongue of the Prophet ﷺ in authentic hadith in Bukhari and Muslim. You're going to reject the hadith because you don't understand it? That I understand it. And he understands it. And he understands it. So what now? So on what basis are we going to reject our understanding and accept your misunderstanding? Do we reject the aqidah because you didn't understand it? Others have understood it. So it's a very sick approach to the deen. Many people suffer from it today. They don't even know. They're upon the same mentality, the same ideology, tooth and nail. But they don't even know. They haven't realized it yet. That the deen to them is supermarket shopping. You go to the aisle, you see you have Nido, and you have Lena, whatever, 5 milk. Yeah, let me see this one, I choose this one. But the deen wants you to take all 5, hypothetically speaking. Or the deen wants you to take this kind of milk, not the other kind. You don't have a choice. This is not shopping for you to say, wallah, but I don't like this kind, I'm going to get the other kind. La, you have to get this kind. If you want Islam, if you have some other religion other than Islam, then choose what you want. Choose what you want. But then don't ask for Jannah on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Don't ask for Jannah because you didn't do the job. You didn't do, you have a job description, do's and don'ts. Your do's and don'ts were whatever was suitable to your liking. Therefore, you didn't pass the exam. Very basic stuff. So Ilm al-Kalam was this sickness of analyzing and evaluating the nas, the textual evidence, with the aql, with the intellect. If the aql accept it, they accept. If the aql rejects, they reject. The Shaykh said, anyone who claims that Muslims are in need of anything, any other sort of knowledge besides the Quran and the Sunnah to understand their deen, like ilm al-kalam, he is jahil, he is an ignoramus, he is an ignorant person, مُبْتِلٌ فِي دَعْوَى, and he is false in his claim and allegation. قَدْ زَعَمَ أَنَّ الدِّينَ لَا يَكْمُلُ إِلَّا بِمَا قَالَهُ وَدَعَ عَلَيْهِ. He assumes that the religion will not be, or he claims that the religion will not be complete until it contains what he has said and what he's inviting to. He's an integral part of the completion of the deen. And of course, this applies to all the mubtadi'a. وَهَذَا مِنْ أَعْظَمِ الظُّلْمِ وَتَجْهِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلِرَسُولِهِ. And this is among the greatest forms of oppression and accusing and attributing ignorance to Allah and His Messenger. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. Attributing ignorance to Allah and His Messenger, because he claiming that Allah did not know that such science was needed for the understanding of the deen. Or that the Prophet ﷺ did not know that this was important, so he failed in conveying it. It's wild. وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي, and I have completed my favor upon you. الظَّاهِرَ وَالْبَاطِنَ, the outwardly and the inwardly. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا, and I am pleased with Islam, or I have proved Islam as your religion. أي اخترته واصطفيته لكم دينا كما ارتضيتكم له. Allah, جميلة هذه, بسم الله. Allahu Akbar. Jamila ya Shaykh. The Shaykh said, meaning I have chosen and selected this religion for you the same way I have selected you for that religion. Huh? The same way I selected you for that religion. I selected the religion for you like I selected you for the religion. Somebody has to be a Muslim. Alhamdulillah. So we're honored. فَقُومُوا بِهِ شُكْرًا لِرَبِّكُمْ وَاحْمَدُوا الَّذِي مَنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ بِأَفْضَلِ الْأَدْيَانِ وَأَشْرَفِهَا وَأَكْمَلِهَا. So then fulfill the thankfulness to your Lord and praise the one who bestowed upon you with the best of religions, the most noble and the most perfect of all of them. فَمَنِ اضْطُرَّ أَيْ أَلْجَأَتْهُ الضَّرُورَةُ إِلَىٰ أَكْلِ شَيْءٍ مِنَ الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ السَّابِقَةِ فِي قَوْلِهِ حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةُ. Whoever is forced, meaning necessity forced him to consume any of the prohibited animals or any of the prohibited things which Allah mentioned earlier in the ayah. حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَ وَالْدَّمُ وَلَحْمُ الْخِنْزِيرِ إِلَىٰ آخِرِهِ. It has been prohibited upon you, the dead animal. So if anyone is in need, anyone has been forced by necessity to consume any of it, في غير مخمصة أي مجاعة, meaning if it is not like a starvation, a form of starvation. There's another word I was looking for. Famine. Yeah, صح? Famine. Come on guys, help me out here. Now, Abdul Aziz, you like that one, Abdul Aziz? Hala wallah, Abdul Aziz. أي غير متجانف أي مائل إلى إثم. He's not inclined to sin. يعني, how could that be? Someone likes bacon strips. Huh? So he goes around in the streets for a couple of days starving himself. He doesn't get any other food. He deliberately starves himself. And then he makes it seem like he had just made it at the McDonald's, let's say it's in some other country, not the one in Saudi, and he's forced to have some bacon strips now to survive. Is that valid? He's starving, he's about to die. So, and he loves bacon strips, so he made it so that he starves this duration of time, deliberately not buying food from other places, so that at the point of starvation where he's about to meet death, he's near a McDonald's so that he can go in and order some bacon strips. Does that work? Allah. Ya bu, ايش بك انت؟ ما did you pay? معليش. Maybe you did not pay attention to my choice of words. I said he deliberately starved himself, abandoned buying food from other halal places, so that when he's about to die, he will be able to eat his bacon strips. Say no. Why? Because he is mutajanif ila ithm. He's inclined towards sin. He's working it out so he can do it. Versus someone who actually was in this situation, couldn't find any food, and finally the last thing that he found was someone offering him a hamburger, which had some bacon strips. Then we say to him what? Take out the bacon strips, man. You can't eat it either. If it is a hamburger and has bacon strips, take out the bacon strips and eat the hamburger. You're not liable for that contaminated part of the meat, which was touching the bacon strip. That you cannot do anything about. But it doesn't mean you can eat the bacon strips even then. Only when the only thing you find is a bucket of bacon strips and you're about to die, in which case you eat. How much do you eat? Eat your fill until you faint and pass out. La, you eat only to survive. So this is important because of the ayah mentioned, so that the people will not misuse the concessions of Allah. It's a concession from Allah, facilitation. So they will not misuse it. Allah gave two conditions. في مخمصة, يعني is in a state of starvation. غير متجانف إلى أثم, and is not inclined towards any sin. بأن لا يأكل حتى يطر, meaning he does not eat until it is required. ولا يزيد في الأكل على كفاته, nor does he go beyond his need in what he eats. فإن الله غفور رحيم, then Allah عز وجل is all forgiving, all merciful. حيث أباح له الأكل في هذه الحال, since Allah permitted him to eat in this particular condition. ورحمه بما يقيم به بنيته من غير نقص يلحقه في دينه. And Allah showed mercy to him by allowing him to do that which will keep his back straight, in other words, without any effect on his religion. It does not affect his religious commitment because he was forced to eat this particular prohibited animal. Bismillah. طيب. Ayah number 4. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يسألونك ماذا أحل لهم قل أحل لكم الطيبات وما علمتم من الجوارح مكلبين تعلمونهن مما علمكم الله فكلوا مما أمسكنا عليكم واذكروا اسم الله عليه واتقوا الله إن الله سريع الحساب. What's going on, ya jama'ah? They ask you, O Muhammad, of course, between parentheses, meaning it's not part of the ayah, what has been made lawful for them? Ayah number 4 of Surah Al-Ma'idah, Abdul Aziz. Mashi? Ayah number 4, Surah Al-Ma'idah, Habibi. Surah Al-Ma'idah is ayah number, Surah number 5. What has been made lawful for them? Say, lawful for you are all good foods and game caught by what you have trained of hunting animals which you train as Allah has taught you. So eat of what they catch for you and mention the name of Allah upon it and fear Allah. Indeed, Allah is swift in account. The Shaykh said, يقول تعالى لنبيه محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يسألونك ماذا أحل لهم من الأطعمة. Allah says to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, they ask you what has been made lawful for them of food. قل أحل لكم الطيبات وهي كل ما فيه نفع أو لذة من غير ضرر بالبدن ولا بالعقل. طيبات is everything which is beneficial or tasty that does not contain any harm to the body or to the mind. فدخل في ذلك جميع الحبوب والثمار التي في القرى والبراري. Included in that then are all kinds of grains and fruits which are in the villages and the forests. ودخل في ذلك جميع حيوانات البحر وجميع حيوانات البر وجميع حيوانات البر. And included in that are all sea animals and all land animals. إلا ما استثناه الشارع كالسباع والخبائث منها, except what the legislation has exempted, such as سباع, like the wild animals. The wild animals.
سباع,
from what I know. The ones which have claws. The kinds of birds which have, نعم, different birds and different kinds of animals, which are wild animals in other words. Not domesticated. والخبائث من النعم, and the wicked among them. Some of them are wicked, like the فأر, huh? والعقرب والحية. These ones you kill in حل حرام. You kill them anywhere you find them, and you get أجر for killing them, because the Prophet ﷺ called them فويسق, فويسقة. These animals are disobedient, they're defiant, like the mouse. So no more Mickey Mouse, huh? Or Tom and Jerry, where Tom is always the criminal and Jerry is the victim. The truth of the matter, Nadine, is Jerry is the victim and Tom is innocent. Because Tom is trying to follow the sunnah in this regard, killing the mouse. But they never let him kill him. I will not be shocked if those who made this cartoon learned that in Islam, the cat is considered from At-Tawafoon Alaykum, those which can be amongst you. It's tahir, it's pure. And that there's Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, called Abu Huraira because of the cat. And they knew that the mouse was evil, so that they made the cartoon is specifically to make it seem the other way around. I wouldn't be shocked. And I wouldn't be shocked, seriously. These people do their homework before they do anything. In general, Hollywood and Disney and all these things, you will find that they target Islam in everything they make. Every single thing they make, there must be something against Islam and our aqidah, our anything. So yeah, huh? Kill them rats. And the rat is like a mouse. I have a video of me and my son killing a rat. It was awesome. And we saw him in front of the house and he was running. And Musabi gave him the first stone. And then I went after him and gave him this one hit on his head. It was amazing, wallah. And then suddenly he turned on his side and he started blowing up and his hair stood. And he bled to death. It was an awesome experience. Maybe we want to do it again. It's just synonymous as far as I know. Barriya, back in Lebanon, go to the Barriya. It's a forest-like area. Long trees, and you go camping there, a place where you camp. Whereas village, you may not camp in the village, you live in the village. So Barari is an area which is uninhabited. You go there, camp, and picnic. Whereas Al-Qarqariya, village, is where people live, but they have a village-like lifestyle. Right? ولهذا دلت الآية بمفهوم على تحريم الخبائث. So the ayah, through its, by understanding the ayah, it indicates the prohibition of anything which is harmful. Because Allah said, الطيبات. Huh? قل أحل لكم
الطيبات. What is understood from that? حرم عليكم الخبائث. When Allah said only lawful for you are الطيبات, pay attention. This is الطيبات حلال عليكم أو لكم أحل لكم الطيبات. It's exclusivity, meaning the only thing made lawful for you is الطيبات. Explaining that everything else is prohibited. Of course, we have another ayah wherein Allah described the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام specifically saying وَيُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتُ وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثُ. يُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتُ نعم طيباتي يُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتُ نعم. He makes lawful for them the طيبات and he prevents and prohibits upon them the خبائث. This is the description of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. So this is a given already. كما صرح به في قوله تعالى ويحل لهم الطيبات ويحرم عليهم الخبائث مرحبا. وما علمتم من الجوارح وأحل لكم ما علمتم من الجوارح. And is lawful for you what you have trained or what you have taught of these particular animals that help you in your hunting expeditions, if we may call it, huh? Train of hunting animals. نعم. Now the Shaykh said دلت هذه الآية على أمور. This ayah indicates a few things. أحدها, one of them, لطف الله بعباده ورحمته لهم حيث وسع عليهم طرق الحلال أو طرق الحلال. The gentleness of Allah and the kindness of Allah towards the slaves and His mercy upon them, wherein He made the matters of lawful abundant, vast, a lot of halal, a lot of halal. وأباح لهم ما لم يذكوه مما صادته الجوارح. And he made lawful for them what they did not slaughter themselves, but was caught by their hunting animals. Made lawful for them what they did not slaughter by themselves, but was caught by the hunting animal, including what? A dog. As you will see, a dog. So you will understand this. It's a very critical matter. والمراد بالجوارح الكلاب والفهود والصقر ونحو ذلك مما يصيد بنابه أو بمخلبه. Include what is intended with the جوارح are the dogs and the tigers or the cheetahs and صقر, the eagles, and others which hunt with their claws. أو بنابه. It's what is that tooth called? Canine? Dracula? Yeah, but what is the spelling? I would like to add this to my dictionary. How is it pronounced? Can I? I remember hearing it like that. Any information on that, Akhi? That tooth, that the long, pointy. Not there. Okay, maafi mushkilim. Assalamu alaikum. We need you. I'm serious, man. What do you call that pointy tooth that the tigers and the cheetahs have? La. Is it the canine tooth or what? Isn't there a name for it?
Inside is canine.
So we're all together in this. Shh, don't tell anyone. Too late. Everybody's here in this. نعم عارف ما هو مكتوب بنابي. But I want the English. You know what? No, we're gonna do this. Abdul Aziz now. Oxford Dictionary, Abdul Aziz. Wait. So the result is canine. C-A-N-I-N-E. Thanks, Samsung. طيب بالجوارح والكنام. والثاني أنه يشترط أن تكون معلمة بما يعد في العرف تعليما. The second condition is that it has to be trained. In the sense, what is known as training locally. يعني according to the local customs there, what do they consider a trained animal for hunting? It falls, because you may find that in some countries, they go to a certain extent and measures in training, whereas in other countries, they're primitive in their training. But whatever locally is considered training, then it's considered a training at a hunting animal that is trained. Hey. نعم وبأن يسترسل إذا أرسل وينزجر إذا زجر وإذا أمسك لم يأكل. Three conditions the Shaykh mentioned for you to consider an animal to be trained for hunting. If you send him, he goes. Now you don't tell him go, he looks at you. Well, like, go.
He looks at you and he goes the other direction. Not a trained animal, huh? وينزجر إذا سجر. And if you tell him stop, he stops. He just running, he doesn't come back. Gone with the wind. Paid, I don't know how much money for it. وَإِذَا أَمْسَكَ لَمْ يَأْكُلْ. And if he goes to catch something for you, he doesn't eat it. Bring it back half eaten. Has to leave it as in one piece, as he caught it for you. Of course, whatever the scholars say, whatever is on its mouth is an exception to the rule. And how do you bring a relation between the impure saliva of the dog and then the dog hunting for you and using its saliva? It's a very technical issue in the books of fiqh. But the bottom line is, the basic understanding is, the one who told you that the dog is impure is the one who allowed you to hunt with the dog. So you just relax and leave it up to Allah Azza wa Jal. You don't go into these issues and complicate life when Allah simplified it for you. خلاص الله ميري حلال الحمد لله enjoy that's it. Maybe the sheikh will address this issue. However, ولهذا قال تعلمونهن مما علمكم الله فكلوا مما أمسكنا عليكم. So you teach them of that which Allah Azza wa Jal has taught you. So eat from that which they have caught for you. أي أمسكنا من الصيد لأجلكم. What they have hunted of hunt for you, of game for you. وَمَا أَكَلَ مِنْهُ الْجَارِحِ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ أَمْسَكَهُ عَلَى صَحِبِهِ. And whatever the animal eats during the hunting, وَلَعَلَّهُ أَنْ يَكُنْ أَمْسَكُهُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ. It could be that he caught it for himself and not for the owner. That's why the condition is what they have caught for you. He may go get his own thing. Then it's a whole other story. If the dog is getting his own hunting, he's hunting his own game, not for you. You have to be involved in the process. Otherwise, it's the dog's own thing. Dogs hunt as well. الثالث اشتراط أن يجرحه الكلب أو الطير ونحوهما. The third condition is that the dog or the bird, they have to afflict a wound on that game which they're hunting. Huh? يجرح. That's what called جوارح, because they have to afflict a wound on it. لقوله من الجوارح مع ما تقدم من تحريم المنخنقة. Because Allah said from the جوارح, and it's already been mentioned, المنخنقة, the one which is suffocated, right? Suffocation or strangling. I'm sorry, strangling. فلو خنقه الكلب وغيره وقتله بثقله لم يبح. If a dog were to strangle an animal or to sit on him and kill him with his weight, it's not permissible. That game is not permissible. If a dog were to use other means, if the dog did not afflict the wound, such as he simply strangled him or some other means, or he killed him by his weight, it doesn't count. لم يبح. It is not lawful. هذا بناء على أن الجوارح التي يجرحنا الصيد بأنيابها أو مخالبها. This is based on the understanding, the Sheikh, however, that جوارح, the word جوارح comes from those who afflict wounds through their canines or through their claws. والمشهور أن الجوارح بمعنى الكواسب. The other opinion or the famous opinion is that the word جوارح means كواسب, the ones who earn, the earners. I hope that's a word. أي المحصلات للصيد والمدركات له. The ones who acquire game and able to grab it and bring it. فلا يكون في هذا فيها على هذا دلالة والله أعلم. So this is no longer evidence if this is the case, meaning if the meaning is the latter, the second one. على كل حال. الرابع جواز اقتناء كلب الصيد. آه. كما ورد في الحديث الصحيح حديث البخاري حديث أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه. The permissibility of owning or keeping a hunting dog مع أن اقتناء الكلب محرم. Even though the general principle is having a dog is haram. For you Muslims, don't keep dogs.
No, we can, but outside.
Outside?
Because too much
harami in our country. Oh. Well, you burnt out my film. I was just about to ask, what are the exceptions to the rule? But Abdul Hadi is excited, mashallah. The exception is then we have al kalbu sayd, hunting dog. What else? Hirasa. Huh? Security dog, if you may call him.
That's it.
Hey, security dog.
Dog.
What up? There's a third one.
There's a third one. The one for the shepherd. The one which the shepherd uses to help him maintain and keep the flock of sheep and so on and so forth. Na'am? Hey. Otherwise, getting a chihuahua for you to lick an ice cream with it, huh? Or whatever they call these other kinds of dogs, you know, Poochie and Pachi and I don't know what, forget it. Forget it. That thing is nasty. Nasty. You know, dogs, they... Hey, dogs are just dogs. لأن من لازم إباحة صيده وتعليم جواز اقتنائه لأن من لازم إباحة صيده وتعليم جواز اقتنائه نعم من لازم إباحة صيده because a necessity of allowing you to use the dog for hunting is that you should have you own it first. How are you going to own it and train it? If you're going to use it for hunting, that means you it's allowed in this particular condition. الخامس طهارة ما أصابه فم الكلب من الصيد. The purity of what the mouth of the dog gets in touch with of the game which it hunts. Remember I told you earlier because otherwise it is najis. If a dog licks you, what do you have to do? Seven times. The last one with earth, yani with soil or dirt. According to some, according to others, the ulama says sabun, soap will do the job. But look how severe the situation is. So now he's putting his saliva straight on that game. It's tahir. Why? Because Allah Azza wa Jalla allowed it. لأن الله أباح ولم يذكر له غسلا. Allah made it lawful and did not mention that you have to do any form of cleansing. Like he mentioned with the case of the dog licking your utensils or licking your plates or licking you or whatever. فدل على طهارتي. So this is indicative of its purity. السادس فيه فضيلة العلم وأن الجارح المعلم بسبب العلم يباح صيده والجاهل بالتعليم لا يباح صيده. The virtue of knowledge and that the animal which is trained because of knowledge, it's permissible for you to consume its game, and the one who's ignorant of its of the teachings, it's not permissible for you to consume its hunting. يعني علم became relevant now whether this food is halal or haram based on knowledge of training the dog and having knowledge of these matters of the deen. I just want to finish these 3-4 points. Inshallah, we have time. السابع أن الاشتغال بتعليم الكلب أو الطير أو نحوهما ليس مذموما وليس من العبث والباطل بل هو أمر مقصود لأنه وسيلة لحل صيده والانتفاع به. Seventhly, occupying oneself or busying oneself in training dogs or birds or the likes is not blameworthy, nor is it a form of just time wastage and falsehood. Rather, it is a matter which is intended because it's means for you to get some hunting going on and to benefit from the hunt. Naam? So inshallah, the same goes for those who go spear fishing or scuba diving or something of the sort, because you go in there and you're learning how to hunt and you may be spending money, but then you'll be eating a lot of fish for cheap. You guys know how much fish cost? Now you see one person who goes scuba diving, you make, let's say, 200 riyals for the boat rental. Tayyib, 200 riyals for the boat rental.
We don't pay anything for the salt from here.
Anyways, man, yeah, and then you get some shells. But if you want to really get some fish, you take a boat into the ocean. طيب, just so you know, of course the scuba diving equipment is costly, but usually you don't have to buy it every other day. It's something that will last you a lifetime, some of them, and some things you have to buy every now and then. But look at the whole thing altogether. The amount of fish you can get in one hunting trip, even if you're an average shooter, you can get up 10 to 15 kilos of fish. طيب. Go to the market. The harid, which you'll be shooting like nothing, is 60 riyals, 64 riyals a kilo at the market. So when someone pays 350 to get lunch for his family, the hunter pays 20 riyals only, just for frying, cleaning and frying. Just give him the fish. They for 10 riyals, they will clean it for you and fry it.
No, so, the situation is different because there is some excitement of this.
Hey, well, maybe in some cases you don't even pay the 20 riyals. You clean it and you cook it at home. I'm saying if this is... Hey, na'am. But some women don't like to get in, you know, don't know how to do the whole cleaning thing. It's a little too much for them. Don't worry about me. The bottom line is I'm trying to say that inshallah this is me. It's many ibadat, by the way, are included in that. The ibadah of swimming. Well, we know it's a sunnah to swim. and the ibadah of strengthening your body. Then the ibadah of, by the way, you see amazing things in the water. So you remember Allah often. So you say subhanAllah because you see some wild things. And the ibadah of you earning food with your own hands. The ibadah of earning food with your own hands. So these are four. There was one more which I cannot remember now. These are four at least acts of worship involved in diving and shooting fish. And of course actually shooting, which is aiming, ar-rami. You never know when you will use it. You never know when you will use it in the future. Once you develop the idea of being able to aim and shoot the target, hit the target, this is something that is required of you and is expected of you Islamically. Whether you're doing it on a smaller scale or on a larger scale. But once your brain is trained for aiming and shooting, then you may, if you learn how to use a spear gun, if someone gives you an actual machine gun, you may be just as successful because your brain is trained to be able to aim and maintain, you know, your hand from shaking. Are you with me or am I speaking by myself? I'm going to stop. No, I'm going to stop. La la, khalas, khalas. I'm going to drink some coffee, bismillah. Of course, man. Horses is it's again. The Prophet ﷺ said that the Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, al khayru ma'qudun fi nawasiha ila yawm al-qiyamah. The goodness is يعني confined in the faces or the front of the horses until yawm al-qiyamah. It's a blessed animal. Horses and riding horses is, I don't know, mentioned the khayl, rukub al-khayl, and rami and sibaha. These three are from the sunnah. These three from the sunnah. And if we're able to teach our children these three, that would be nice. That would be nice. Never heard a scholar say it's obligatory, but it's something we should take into consideration. Tayyib. So we will not go beyond the track, Jama'ah. Let me just finish this couple of sentences. Barakallahu feekum. الثامن فيه حجة لمن أباح بيع كلب الصيد. There's an evidence for that, or a proof for the one who makes permissible selling the hunting dogs, because otherwise selling dogs is haram, because the dog is haram. So you cannot be buying and selling. In fact, some of the scholars say buying and selling animals in general is haram. Because these are the creation of Allah. You want a cat? Find one in the street. You don't go pay 700, you know, 1,000 riyals for a, what do you call that, the Chinese cat?
Siamese
cat. There's some fancy, you know, all nice and cute little cat. You don't pay money for that stuff. And how much does, you know, cat food cost and all this litter box for him to handle their business? It's a lot of money wastage, by the way. That's besides the point as well. قَالَ لِأَنَّهُ قَدْ لَا يَحْصُلْ لَهُ إِلَّا بِذَلِكَ. You may not be able to get a hunting animal unless you buy from one. So those who say selling hunting dogs is permissible, use this ayah as an evidence. There's no other way for me to get it unless somebody's buying and some is selling. So that becomes an exception to the rule. The same way, dogs in general, this is an exception as well. Yani you may buy a dog for hunting, you may buy a dog for guarding, security, you may get one for a shepherd, for the flock, and so on and so forth. التاسع في اشتراط التسمية عند إرسال الجارح. The condition, there's a condition of تسمية, huh? To mention the name of Allah upon sending forth the hunting animal. وَأَنَّهُ إِنْ لَمْ يُسَمِّ اللَّهُ مُتَعَمِّدًا لَمْ يُبِحْ مَا قَتَلَ الْجَارِحِ لَمْ يُبِحْ مَا قَتَلَ الْجَارِحِ. If you intentionally do not mention Allah when you send that animal to go hunt, then it is not permissible for you. It's not halal for you to consume that. He said intentionally, because if you do it out of forgetfulness, that's another story. If you forget to say the name of Allah. But if you intentionally don't do it, it's haram. You must remember Allah Azza wa Jalla, say Bismillah upon sending it. Al-ashir and the last. أَنَّهُ يَجُوزُ أَكْلُ مَا صَادَهُ الْجَارِحِ. It's permissible to eat what the hunting animal catches. سَوَاءً قَتَلَهُ الْجَارِحَ حَمْلًا. Whether the animal was the killer or not. Whether it might wind up killing that animal or not. وَأَنَّهُ إِنْ أَدْرَكُوا صَاحِبُهُ فِي حَيَاةٍ مُسْتَقِرَّةٍ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يُبَاحُ إِلَّا بِهَا. And that if the owner catches it while there's a life in it, then it is not permissible except with that life. ثُمَّ حَثَّ تَعَالَى عَلَى تَقْوَاهُ وَحَذَّرَ مِنْ إِتْيَانِ الْحِسَابِ فِي يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Then Allah Azza wa Jal encouraged fear of him, and he warned against coming his swift account on يوم القيامة. وَأَنَّ ذَلِكَ أَمْرٌ قَدَّنَا وَاقْتَرَبَ. And that this is a matter which has become near and close. فَقَالَ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ. And fear Allah, verily Allah is swift in account. So with that, inshallah, we conclude. If we remain alive and healthy in the future, we'll be dealing with the ayat pertaining to marrying Christian and Jewish women.
We
just finished four right now. We're going to start five, inshallah, next time. Yeah.